Father, we thank you for the opportunities that you give us to do the VBS, and people do it tirelessly. They put so much effort into it, and I pray that you would give them the blessing, the peace and the joy on the inside, knowing that it is a job well done, especially, Lord, as objectively speaking, you can see everything that transpires. I pray that you would take this work that we have done and multiply it. Just as seed goes into the ground, may it produce fruit 30, 60, and 100 times what has been sown. We also pray that you would do that with your word in our hearts, that it would not just simply lie dormant there, but it would take root and transform us as we look at the life of Abram, who comes Abraham in Scripture. So, Father, we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 17, we pick it up here, and we have God show up. He shows up to see Abraham, Abram, his name is changed in this chapter. He shows up to see him after he had promised in the previous chapter to bless him and give him a hope and a promise of a child and land to go to. And he makes some declarative statements. As for me, he says, as for God himself, he goes, as for me, this is what God is going to do. Then he turns to Abram and he goes, and as for you, this is what you're going to do, and this is what I'm going to do for you. And he tells him, I'm changing your name because your destiny is going to change. And he goes, I also am going to give you a sign that you must maintain. It's a everlasting covenant, and you must maintain this institution or this act of circumcision. So he gives him that. And then he says, and as for Sarai, or Sarah is what her name comes to mean, and he gives instruction about Sarah. And then he says, and as for Ishmael. So he has these statements, these declarative statements, as for me, as for you, and he talks about circumcision, as for Sarah, and as for Ishmael. That's what he's doing in this chapter. He is, in fact, establishing his covenant that he promised to Abram. Now, in verse 1, it says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. And I've already talked about this. God's part of the covenant is he's going to do whatever he wants to do, and our part, not that we have to do a work, so to speak, but we have to have ourselves set apart, and that's where the circumcision comes in, not the circumcision of the flesh, but a circumcision of the heart. And he calls him, God calls himself God Almighty in the NIV. It's El Shaddai. It is the one who reigns on high. He is the supreme one. He is the God who is sufficient. Another commentator said, what God is saying, I am God all sufficient. And another commentator said, to display power. So he is the ultimate. He's declaring who he is to Abram. Now he goes on here and he tells Abram he's going to change his name. In verse 2, I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Now, has he had any children up to this point? One. And who did it come by? Hagar, remember? He says, I will greatly increase your numbers. How old is he? 99. I'm going to increase your numbers. What? 99. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me. Now, he's making a declarative statement about himself. God is. This is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. So he's making it not only to Abraham, but to all of his descendants. And by the way, those who believe by faith, who are sons of Abraham, that's us. And so by extension, this applies to us as well. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. So he makes some promises here, four of them. You'll be the father of many nations. Abram meant high father, But Abraham means father of a multitude or nation. So that's why he's changing his name. And he says, kings will come from you. That's the second promise he gives. Thirdly, the covenant will be an everlasting covenant that will be passed on to the descendants. That's why you see God named as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not just the God of Abraham. And fourthly, the entire land of Canaan will be given to Abraham and to his descendants. And so that's what God says. This is my covenant. This is what I'm going to do for you. As for me, this is what is going to take place by my hand. And so he goes on and he says, now, there's a condition here that I want you to follow. Then God said to Abraham, as for you, this is what you're going to do. You must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you, you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner. Those who are not your offspring, whether born in your household, or those who are not your offspring, whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. So every male in Abraham's household, young or old, had to go through circumcision. It was a very delicate time for all of those men lining up. Could you imagine being under Abraham's tutelage or guardianship, and he comes to you and goes, hey, we're going to do something to you. I go, what? We're going to circumcise you. What? Yeah, you and every male that is here. And they go, what? What is going on here? Now, I promise you that not all of the people that were under his dominion had the same faith as Abraham. But if they wanted to be part of Abraham and his flock, so to speak, they had to undergo circumcision. It was a requirement or they were cut off. Now, in the New Testament's baptism, you're not cut off from the covenant. It's simply a matter of obedience, and that's why we do it. So in the Old Testament, it was a matter of being cut off. In the New Testament, it's a matter of being obedient to Christ. So he gives this circumcision, and that is on Abraham's shoulders to bear. Now, I'd like you to turn over to Romans chapter 2, because in the New Testament, it was thought that keeping the regulation of circumcision was necessary in order to be a Christian as well. It is not, and Paul was arguing against that. If you remember in Galatians chapter, I think it's chapter 3, Paul was talking about the Galatians and how there were Judaizers amongst them, Jews who had become Christians that were also saying, keep the ordinances and the law, and if you do that, then everything's going to be fine, and if you don't, then everything's messed up for you. You're really not keeping or falling under the covenant. And so Paul said, well, I wish you would go all the way, and you would miss with the knife, is what he was saying. I'm putting that in the daily vernacular of our time. But if you read the scripture, depending on the text, it says, I wish you would go all the way and emasculate yourself if you are requiring people to be under the covenant that requires circumcision. And there's a big argument about it, so much so that he went to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15, and he argued before the apostles there that this should not be taught. And the apostles came back and said, yes, that's correct. It doesn't have to be instituted. But many Christians today do that. Many Christians do not do that today, but it is not required. In Romans chapter 2, he's talking about physical circumcision as opposed to a circumcision of the heart. In verse 25 of Romans chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes, circumcision has value if you observe the law. Now, you read that, you think, okay, you're going to observe the law. Who wants to observe the Old Testament law? Anyone? You want to do that? No? You don't want to do that. You don't want to, what if you work on Sunday, then you'd be cut off from your people. Or what if you have mold in your house? Anywhere. What if you have it in your shower? Oh, I have to come over as the pastor and inspect your shower. Are you ready for that? Then I have to go back, and once you've cleaned it up or removed it and taken it away to the dump and fixed it, I have to come back and let you know if it's okay to live in your house if I were the priest. And if you're practicing that today, and dietary laws, no lobster, shrimp for you, no clams, no whatever you like from the bottom of the sea, no catfish. You better not be eating some catfish. You can have some trout, something like that. But, and you can have grasshoppers. I'll bring a bag. If I come over and inspect the mold in your house, I'll give you some grasshoppers. That's what's being under the law. That's what you have to do. And there's no way that Paul wanted to put everybody under the law. Christ died to set us free from the law. The law was meant to drive us to the cross. And so he's making kind of a statement here. Yeah, if you're going to be circumcised, if you're following the law, then it's good, because you want to keep the whole law and not break a single commandment. So that's what he's saying here. And can anybody keep the whole law? No. So you're guilty. You're under this cloud of condemnation. But Romans 8:1 says, if you're in Christ, there's no condemnation. Verse 26 of Romans chapter 2 says, if those who are not circumcised keep the law's requirements, will they not be regarded as though they were uncircumcised? The one who is not circumcised physically and yet obeys the law will condemn you, who, even though you have the written code and circumcision, are a lawbreaker. A man is not a Jew if he is one or only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. So what he's saying is, our heart is covered with flesh in a allegorical sense, in a metaphorical sense. And that flesh is, what does your heart desire to do? Your heart desires to sin, right? And God says, I want to take off that flesh on your heart and reduce the desire, the drive to sin, because you now have the Spirit of God in you. And he says, let's take that off. And you have to do that willingly. All the people in Abraham's clan had to line up willingly. Do you think there was anybody in there that they had to grab, six guys had to grab and hold them down and say, now don't move? You think that that happened? No, I don't think so. I think that they all said, okay, I'm going to do this because my master Abraham is doing this, and he says, this is what we need to have God's blessing. I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to submit to it. And that's what we have with our heart too. And the propensity of every human heart is to do what is wrong, to go astray. Given the right circumstances, oh, it will come up. And I'm sure it comes up on a semi-regular basis. If you're a young parent and you have kids, I promise you, before the week's out, maybe even before the day's out, your maybe anger is going to rise a little bit, because we know they're little angels most of the time, except then when they're with you. And then they become these little demons just running around the house because you've threatened them within an inch of their life if they look bad at church, right? Or they say what mommy and daddy said at church. And then they make you look bad. And you take them home, and now Tommy, and they're little demons walking around. And we have to show them what the correct behavior is. You don't have to teach a child to be bad. Remember? And our heart, it stays like that. We have a tendency to want to run off and do whatever we want to do. And we don't want anybody telling us what to do. And God says, submit yourself, pull off that flesh on your heart, and be submissive to the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. So that's what Paul is saying here. And Abraham was circumcised at this point to show everybody else. And believe me, the Judaizers, they would check that you would show up somewhere or at the temple. If you walked in the temple, the Jews that were there, before you got in, you were checked. And you'd better be circumcised, buddy, or you're not getting into this temple area. And if you were not, you could cause a riot. There could be an actual riot there, and they might end up killing you or killing some people. So anyhow, that's what Abram went through. And by the way, Galatians 3:11 says, clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. So you can't keep the law and be declared righteous. Now, going on in verse 15, we have, as for Sarai. Now, first it was, as for me, God is speaking, and as for you, he's speaking about Abram. He gives a circumcision, the ordinance of circumcision, or the practice of circumcision, And then he says, now as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations, kings of people. Peoples will come from her. So Sarai, it means, or it meant back then, my princess, where Sarah just simply is a matter of fact, princess. You are not my princess. You are a princess because she is going to be the mother of many nations. Now, after this, Abraham has a couple of questions. Verse 17, Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, now again, how old is he?
99.
Say it like he would. He's 99 years old. Okay? He probably, Now, I can't help it, but whenever I think of Abraham and Sarah, now some of you are going to know what I'm talking about, and some of you are not. But if you remember Artie Johnson and Ruth Buzzy. Remember Artie Johnson? He had that trench coat on. He had, now what show was that on?
Laughing.
He had the trench coat on, he had the mustache going, and he had the flat rim hat, and he's walking around like that, right? He sits down to Ruth Buzzy, who is a little bit of a prude right there, and she's slapping him with the purse because he's making, you know, some passes at Ruth Buzzy. And Ruth Buzzy's just spurning all the advances. Occasionally on those shows, she would kind of be endeared towards him. You talk like that. And that's all I can think about when I think of Abraham. Because that's how now you have to give Ruth Buzzy white hair. Because she's 90 years old. Ruth Buzzy, you know, in that program, she probably was trying to be like 60 or something. And Artie Johnson was probably like, he looked older than dirt, you know, probably 80, 90 years old. And so that's what I think of when I look at Abraham here. Now, you will probably never think of him any other way either. But Abraham, he gets down. He kind of laughs to himself. He's bowing down. He says, will a son be born to a man who is 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child in the age of 90? You know, he's probably has this little smirk on his face as he's talking to God. Now, he knows it's God. Why does he know it's God? He saw him in the last chapter. He showed up in the last chapter. Now, there's a debate on how many times God showed up and talked to Abraham physically. Sometimes it's thought that all 8 times he showed up, where it says, and God said to him, and he responded. Maybe it was just his voice. But at least 2 times God showed up physically. He appeared, it says, to Abram. And the last one was in the last chapter. He showed up. And now he's shown up again. So he knows who he's talking to over here. And as he talks to him, he's starting to laugh. Actually, it's the next chapter that does that. I'm getting ahead of myself. The next chapter, you have the 2 visitors in chapter 18 that come with God himself. So this is the first one. He knows it's God. He has declared, I'm God Almighty. That's where it starts. And so he's bowing down. He's asking these 2 questions. And then he goes on to say, and Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. So Abraham's kind of laughing. He's bowing down. He's being reverential towards God who shows up there. Come on. It's kind of like Moses, right? God, send somebody else. Abraham says, hey, maybe Ishmael instead. You know, he'd be good. And God goes, nope, because Ishmael is after the flesh, where Isaac is after the spirit. He's after a promise. God wanted to make sure he was so stinking old, there's no possible way he's going to have a child. And it would have to be by God himself and a result of a promise that Isaac would be born. Where Abraham, you know, he's still kind of frisky. 10, 13 years ago, and now he's not. It's just like, I am so old and I'm so tired, there's no way. And then they turn into Artie Johnson and Ruth Buzzy, is what happens. And it doesn't end there. You know, just as a side note, I will ask you again, how many children did Abraham eventually have? Anybody remember? That we know of. I have to say that we know of. Now, how old is he here? He's 99 years old. How long did he live? 175 years is how long he lived. After his wife Sarah died, he married another woman and had 8 sons by that woman. Or six, for a total of 8. But that's not all. He had concubines. And God said, send all the concubines away, give them something to go with, and they will take their children with them, their sons with them. So how many children after age 99 did Abraham have? We don't know. He could have had 50 kids. How many concubines did he have? I don't know. Now, if you were Abram and you were old but kind of frisky still, and you saw all these women of childbearing age, I mean, here's a guy, we look at Hollywood and say, oh, that old man, he should not be marrying that young little 20-something-year-old. And there's a joke that's out there, I don't know if you've heard it, a man who is over the age of 30 should not date a woman younger than his waist size. Have you heard that? So, if your waist size is 50, that's it. You can date somebody who's 50 or older. And so that joke is out there. But the idea that Abraham, he was a father of nations. It wasn't just those 2 children, Ishmael and Isaac. The others are named, I think it's chapter 25. Those kids are named from, I think her name is Keturah. I'll have to go back and look. But she has 6 sons. It doesn't mention the daughters that she would have had by Abraham. So he was just as spry as a 25-year-old guy at age 99. At least God made him so again. Made his body alive. And all these generations and all these nations have come from the loins of Abraham and from Sarah and from his other wives. So God has fulfilled that promise. Then he goes on in verse 20 concerning Ishmael. I have heard you. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household or bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them, as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on the same day, and every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. So that day, God established on his part the covenant with God. He said, okay, I will follow God, and this is what I'm going to do. Now, we're at the top of the hour here, so I can't go into the 3 visitors and what's going to take place with Sodom and Gomorrah and where Sarah is told that she is going to give birth to a child, and then she starts laughing. So these old people are just laughing, and they're old, okay? They're old. Anybody in here 99? No one. Okay. They are old. They are older than all of us, and they're going to have children. Now, this is simply to establish the fact that God shows up, and he can do what he wants. And God has made a covenant with us as well. And just as he asked Abraham to be holy, he calls us to be holy. He calls us to be set apart. And we can rejoice that he has a plan for us, just like he had a plan for Abraham. Abraham was the father of many nations. You may not know it, but you're probably related to him. Some of you are. I know I am, but you can be related to Abraham physically. The reason I am is because my grandfather was a Jew, and he married a Baptist, and therefore he was no longer a Jew. They said, no, we're not going to have anything to do with you anymore. His name is Markowitz, was my grandfather's name. And so I know that goes all the way back to Abraham. And you may have that too. Now, I'm not living under the promise that Abraham had. I'm living under the promise of the covenant of blood. And that's what you want to make sure, that you are under that covenant, and God is going to bless you even more so than he has blessed Abraham. You remember, you're going to get the new body. No more crying, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. All the old things are going to pass away, and everything is going to become new. It is not true for those who do not wish to be under the covenant. So my prayer for you is that you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You want to follow him just like Abraham has done so up to this time. Even though he's made mistakes, even though you'll make mistakes, you trust in him for everything, for he is truly a man of faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Abraham was faithful in what you called him to do, that he kept this covenant. Because of that, the greatest king came from his loins, our King, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to consider these things and how we have eternal life because of his obedience. We ask that you would help us to take this knowledge, make it our own, disseminate it to others, and make disciples, as the Great Commission says. And thank you that you, last week, gave us another opportunity to do so. May you give us many more in the future. In Jesus' name, amen.